round, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb man, herb.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Dr. Theodore Watkins, and welcome to another program of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program that's designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. And I'm your host, and we have with us our able and trusty assistant, Brother Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Smith?
Doing well, Doc. Thank you so much for asking. How about you?
Man, I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. You know, today we want to talk about something that we've started talking about on other occasions, but want to go into a little more, and that is dementia. You know, dementia is a growing problem in this country. Researchers say that every minute, Frank, every minute, someone in the United States develops dementia. There are currently over 6 million people with dementia, and the number is growing. Now, we've looked at a number of reasons. You know, we used to talk about the heavy metals, the lead, the aluminum, and certainly that could play a part in dementia. But one of the things that we've noticed lately is that, and really, if we go back to the first case that was discovered of Alzheimer's, Dr. Alzheimer talked about these arteries that were all clogged up. Mm-hmm. And so we now talk about cardiogenic dementia, and we see that with high animal fat. It's been also shown that certain vitamin deficiencies, especially vitamin D, vitamin B, and perhaps vitamin A are associated with dementia. Diseases like diabetes and thyroid disease, heart disease, are associated with dementia. Anxiety, depression. Now, dementia can have depression, but anxiety and depression can actually be causative factors of dementia. But we want to...
No kidding.
What did you say?
No kidding.
Yes, man. All these factors. Turn your phone up a little bit, Frank.
Okay.
All of these are factors associated with dementia. But now there are things that we're discovering, and I have to credit my brother Frank. He sent me an article that really got me excited, and it was looking at some studies where they looked at turmeric, and its impact on dementia, and what it showed is that by giving people equivalent of a teaspoon of turmeric a day, all right, that it significantly improved them, and they looked at case studies like one lady was 83, and she noticed that she started losing her memory. She started becoming disoriented. She started having problems taking care of herself and wandering aimlessly and becoming incontinent. And when she started taking turmeric, her anxiety, her apathy, her agitation, her irritability was relieved. And furthermore, she began to laugh and sing again. She even started knitting, you know, because turmeric was helping. We think in part it decreases inflammation and other things. And about a year of that, and this is the show that it's not, you know, something that you do once in a while. She did it steadily for a year. After a year, she actually started recognizing her family again. I mean, it's a terrible thing. They say that you not only lose yourself, but you also lose your family with dementia, Brother Frank. And so that's a terrible, yep, terrible thing. Another patient was having hallucinations, delusions. Mm. She became depressed, and turmeric seemed to relieve all of those symptoms. And she began to recognize her family again and be able to live in a more peaceful. You know, I remember when my mother started developing Alzheimer's. It blew my mind, man. I mean, the thing mm-hmm. that she would say, I mean, it was like it would pierce me to the core. And but then I would tell myself that this is not really my mother, you know. My mother had lost herself, and she lost me in the process. But there were times when she would recognize me, and she would go back to her original self. But then, you know, she'd lose it again. And so we need to recognize that turmeric is very, very, very important. Now, they think that a significant part of it is the curcumin in the turmeric. But they found out if you just use curcumin, you wouldn't get the results. So it's the turmeric actually works better because there are many, many compounds in the turmeric that seems to really, really help. One of the things that also excited me was I was reading an article, and it talked about some aromatic compounds, some essential, you know, oils that was very, very, very significant. And the author of the article was very skeptical when one of his friends said, "I want you to come, and I want you to be a part of this demonstration on essential oils," and particularly he used two oils. He used rosemary and he used lavender. Rosemary and he used lavender, and then he used another group. So there was one group that was in the rosemary group, there's one group that was in the lavender group, and there was one group that had neither. All right, they had another scent that was neither. And what he saw was after just about 15 minutes being exposed to the rosemary, the memories improved. All right.
Wow.
Now it's interesting. He described something that Brother Frank, I've not really seen before. And he talked about the different kinds of memory. All right. Now we've talked about the past memory, you know, things that you learned when you were in school, you know, the present memory, the things that you're using, working from minute to minute. But he described something he called future memory. Huh. future memory. That is,
what's that?
Remembering to remember. You hear me, Frank? Remembering to remember. And he said that this is the one that's most effective with dementia. And it's really the trickiest one too. You know, where you fail to remember to take your vital heart medicines. Or you describe even worse, you forget to buy your spouse a birthday present. And that's if you don't have Alzheimer's, you need to have some excuse, brother, because you're in trouble, man, if you forget that. You know, so this future memory is the one that really is the one that's most effective, and it's the hardest to recover from. And he found that there were, you know, that medicines really have little to offer. You know, there's some mm-hmm. medicines that sort of seem to slow down the progression of the Alzheimer's, but they do little to actually reverse. All right, they do little to reverse, but it appears that this rosemary has an impact on helping to reverse the memory. You know, you know, rosemary has been used for centuries, man, and you know, even it was talked about in Hamlet. mm-hmm. You know, Shakespeare mm-hmm. talked about rosemary and its ability to help with memory. You know, so it's something that we need to be significant to really focus on. But we know that since there's not a whole lot of money in selling these essential oils, Brother Frank, we're not going to see a lot of significant studies, but rosemary is something that we want to take and look at, because there's certain compounds in rosemary that seem to enhance memory. All right, it seemed to enhance memory, and you know, we used to think that that neural cells, brain cells, couldn't be reproduced. You know, once you lost your brain cells, you lost them forever. But you know, they're finding that smelling this wonderful scent acted the same as drugs in treating dementia. And what they did, they caused an increase of a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. Mm-hmm. Acetylcholine. And what happens is when you inhale it, they're actually able to draw your blood and see the impact in your bloodstream. It passes right through the blood-brain barrier and gets immediately into your bloodstream without having to be broken down or metabolized in the liver, you know. And so you can get rapid results with this. And so I am, after reading this article, man, I'm going to get me some. I have some rosemary. I'm going to start using it.
I got some too.
You got some too, Brother Frank?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make some tea or make an extract.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it both ways, man. I'm going to drink me some tea, and I'm also going to I'm going to smell, because
rosemary oil.
You know, that rosemary oil, you know, when you do those aromatics, it immediately gets right into the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. And it does so very, very quickly. And so we need to recognize that that is excellent. But there are other things that seem to have an impact on dementia. Mm-hmm. And one, of course, is diet.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that cardiogenic dementia, and certainly cardiogenic dementia is caused by the same things that causes heart disease. And what's that, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Animal fat.
Yeah, animal fat.
Animal fat.
Processed food.
And processed foods and dairy mm-hmm. fats. Those things seem to really make a difference. But then if you want to prevent it, you want to get you some Brussels sprouts. The Brussels sprouts. I had some last week, man. I got some in the refrigerator right now. We just call it the ice box. I got some in the ice box right now, Brother Frank, because Brussels sprouts contain vitamin A. All right? And that mm-hmm. vitamin A seems to interact with receptors in the brain. All right? And it boosts the number of neurons and the connection between these neurons. All right?
Wow.
So we see that the rosemary is improving the number of neurons. Same thing is happening with Brussels sprouts, you know?
And these connections throughout the nervous system, right?
That's right. That's right. Throughout the nervous system, you're getting the impact. Have you ever looked at a walnut from the top, you know, cut it in half and look at that walnut? It seems to have a similar shape as the brain, all right? It has a similar shape as the brain. And researchers have found that eating a handful of walnuts will actually slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. All right, and we talked about I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that walnuts also cut in half the incidence of heart disease, and so these walnuts with their antioxidant, anti-inflammatory properties are very, very important in preventing new cases of Alzheimer's and even helping to treat those Alzheimer cases that are present, you know. And there are other neuroprotective foods. Spinach. I love my baby spinach. I take my baby spinach and I put it into my smoothies, you know, whole handful of it and put it in there. I use the baby spinach because it's one, chock full of nutrients, but two, it doesn't give a strong taste. And the smoothies with the other dark leafy vegetables like the kale, you know, mm-hmm. those things make a difference. And the studies didn't mention it, but what's that green leafy vegetable? Arugula?
Yeah, arugula. Mm-hmm.
Arugula also would I would think have the same effect, because arugula, because of its it contains nitric oxide, it actually opens up the vessels, you know, dilates the vessels. You know, it's like the Viagra, you know. So it dilutes those blood vessels and blood is able to flow. You know, beets do the same thing, but arugula mm-hmm. seems to be even more effective than the beets. But you take the arugula and the spinach and that kale, and you put it in a smoothie with some blueberries and strawberries. And those blueberries and strawberries have also been shown to prevent and treat Alzheimer's. And so you're getting a double dose, man. You're getting the green leafy vegetables, and you're getting those berries. And so you're having a tremendous impact on the brain. And macadamia nuts, Brazil nuts, these also are powerful tools that we can use to prevent and treat Alzheimer's. But we cannot leave foods without talking about one of my favorites, Brother Frank.
What's that?
Beans.
Beans.
Beans, man. Beans. See, I laugh when I talk about the beans, them lentils, the black beans, all beans. They seem to have a very positive impact on the brain. Magnesium with this vitamin D. Mushrooms with the vitamin D. Magnesium, which is in those Brazil nuts, is also in that spinach. We find that even certain seeds, like pumpkin seeds, are very, very good. Aged garlic contains something called L-arginine, which is an amino acid, one of the essential amino acids, and which is essential, meaning we have to take it in through our foods. The body doesn't produce it. And it in the aged garlic, it has a impact. And of course, we mentioned the turmeric already, but we didn't mention one of my favorite spices, ginger.
Oh yeah,
ginger. And it also has a very powerful impact on prevention and treatment of dementia. But we cannot leave out exercise, Brother Frank.
Yep.
And what kind of exercises should we be doing?
Aerobic and strengthening, both of them.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Aerobic, and one of the best aerobic exercises is walking.
Walking.
All right?
Walking.
Walking. And they show that exercise is actually influences the metabolism of the brain.
Yep.
And one of the ways it does it, it prevents an increase of choline. And choline has been shown, a chemical that's been shown to actually destroy brain cells. And so we certainly don't want to do that. And so we need to exercise. And the length of time that you walk seems to make a difference. And if you add speed, to that walking, that makes a difference. And if you add that strengthening you talked about, that also makes a huge difference in terms of prevention and treatment. And so, but those folk who cannot walk fast, you get out and you just start walking. Matter of fact, I was in a meeting earlier today, Frank, and I was telling a guy about, I was speaking. This is the first year that I left surgery and was doing holistic medicine. And I was asked to speak at the church that I now attend, Brinklow. And I was talking about the impact of exercise, and a lot of folks I can't walk, and then I said, well, you need to understand what I mean by walking. I said, just walk to the door and back. Walk to the door and back, and do that every hour. Walk to the door and back, and then do it twice. Every hour, walk to the door and back twice, and then three times, and then walk out. If you got a gate, walk out to your gate, you know, and back. And then do that every hour. And then walk to the end of the corner and back. And then walk to the next corner and back, you know. And I said, I had a patient do that, and now she's walking for miles. And I didn't know she was in the audience, Brother Frank. She stood up and she said, he's telling the truth. Because I'm the patient he's talking about, you know. Yeah, man, it actually happened, you know. And this was back about 1983, and I still, my Alzheimer's ain't kicked in totally because I still remember that. She stood up and said, I'm the one. So, you know, walking is very important. But I was surprised that article you sent me said that adding that resistance training, the weights, that actually increase. And I thought that was excellent. So we need to do that. And then I was reading another article, and it was saying that power walking. But initially, you won't be able to power walk, you know?
Right.
And you shouldn't try to power walk. Just start walking. You know, Rome was not built in a day, but it was built. And if we just do a little, because if we try to do too much, we'll see it as failure, and we won't try again. But if we eat that elephant one bite at a time, pretty soon the whole thing will be gone. You know, the whole thing will be gone. And if you bring the family and everybody start taking a bite, then we're going to get rid of it even faster. And so if you get people to walk with you, I'm looking on my computer. I have an old couple, and they're walking holding hands, and he has his cane, you know, but they're walking, Brother Frank, they're walking together, and I find that when we have those partners, it helps to encourage you to do more. All right, and so that's something I think is very, very, very important. And then, of course, if there have been studies to show the impact of music, all right, the impact of music, especially those oldies but goodies, man, those oldies but goodies. I remember if you go online, go to YouTube and put music and Alzheimer's and put the name Henry, and it will show you a video of this guy named Henry, and he was severely demented, Brother Frank. And he asked, the doctor asked him what kind of music he liked. And when he told him, he went and got some, and he put these earphones on and started playing the music. And Henry started laughing and singing the songs. And it was able to converse better because of the impact of music. And so that's something that's really, really, really very important that we need to recognize, that Alzheimer's is something that can be prevented and can be treated. So now I'm going to, I don't know how we're not on our Zoom today, so will we be able to find out who, if we open up the phone, can we find out who's on?
Yeah, Kalia will let us know.
I'll let you know.
Okay, so let's open the line. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with questions or comments. You know, but you know, I've been looking at this thing, this Alzheimer's thing, because you know I'm an old man.
Yes, it's huge.
I didn't marry a teenager or a toddler. And so my wife is getting up there at age two. And so we need to prevent, and if we got a little symptoms, we need to treat it. And so I was excited to see Dean Ornish did a study on preventing and reversing Alzheimer's. Now, some of you may remember Dean Ornish because he and his first wife, Shirley, both Harvard graduates, did a study back in the 70s and 80s looking at the impact of lifestyle on heart disease. The impact of lifestyle on heart disease. Nathan Prinigan, who first got us into this walking and jogging and low cholesterol, low fat diet to reverse heart disease and many of the other diseases, started the Prinigan Institute and would publish reports of his patients in the leading medical journals and really embarrassed many of the doctors. And I remember I was at a meeting he did at Albert Einstein in New York where he challenged them to put their patients on this low-fat diet and get them exercising. And they said, no, patients won't tolerate a diet that low in fat. He said, do it and see what happens. And then they said, well, no, you do angiograms before and after. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it because there's two reasons. One, if I did it, it caused extra risk to the patient. And two, even if I did it, you wouldn't believe it. Well, some years later, Shirley and Dean Ornish did it, and they showed that as you follow this plant-based diet, those vessels start opening up. As you walk, those vessels start opening up. And then he started doing some work with prostate cancer, all right? And he showed that with a plant-based diet, you could reverse prostate cancer, all right? So the same principle with prostate cancer certainly will work with breast cancer and probably work with many other cancers because we've done it. So, yes, it does work. But now he did a study, a 20-week study with Alzheimer's disease. He took people with Alzheimer's disease and something called MCI, minimal cognitive impairment. Minimal cognitive impairment. That's early stages of Alzheimer's disease. And he found that if you follow a strict lifestyle program, the operative word, Brother Frank, is strict lifestyle program, that you could prevent and you could prevent the progression and you could even reverse Alzheimer's and minimal cognitive impairment. All right?
So what's the operative word again, Doc?
Strict.
Strict.
Strict. You know, who was it? Was it a boy at Rutgers, Dr. Campbell, or was it my boy Cleveland Clinic that talked about moderate
FN.
Moderate diet meant moderate heart disease, moderate diabetes, moderate cancer, moderate death. So this moderation stuff is not good. We have to go all the way. We have to hit it, you know. And if your child is sick and you're told that if you follow a strict lifestyle program that you could reverse your child's disease, then you would do it, you know.
Yep.
At least some would do it. I would do it, you know. I believe I would do it. You know, I believe Frank would do it, you know. And but will we do it for ourselves? You know, it's clear that we know better, but do we do better? The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. 888-588-0893. We're talking about dementia, Alzheimer's disease, minimal cognitive impairment, and it's affecting so many of us, and yet we can prevent it and we can reverse it. Prevent it and reverse it. Any other thoughts, Brother Frank?
No, we have callers. We got two callers.
Oh, we have callers?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go to the phone. Let's call her. You're on the line.
Hi. So I have a question specifically about the turmeric. Also, my name is Kimase, and good afternoon to the both of you. But yeah, so I know that, like, with turmeric, people typically say that, like, you should take it with black pepper. I guess, like, it helps with the absorption. So is that, like, if somebody were to take turmeric by itself, would they have to take it with the black pepper? Or, like, what is the significance of taking it with the black pepper? And then, like, what is the difference of just taking the turmeric by itself?
So I've heard to take it with black pepper because it increases the absorption. I've always personally stayed away from black pepper because it's an irritant to the stomach, and so I've chosen not to use it. This particular study that we talked about, there was no mention of black pepper. They just used turmeric, you know, the equivalent of a teaspoon a day, and got excellent results. And so I've never recommended the black pepper for the reason that I mentioned.
Yeah. And there's a recent study that says that you can overdo the turmeric absorption with black pepper. So you really have to cut down. Instead of a teaspoon a day, you might have to do a quarter of a teaspoon and just a pinch or two of the black pepper. Because you can overdo herbs as well. You can overdo everything. You can overdo water, for sure.
Okay, well, yeah, I understand that. And then, like, it would be the same, like, somebody would get the same effect if they just ate the turmeric, like, within its fresh form, like, instead of just taking the powder.
Yeah, and you can take the turmeric in different ways, you know. You can put it in your smoothie. You can put it in water. You know, I always, whenever I make rice, I always put turmeric in rice because it has it impacts the helps metabolize the arsenic that we find in rice. And so I always use turmeric in rice and my other vegetables. And so there's so many things that you could, and ways that you can get it in. And the study didn't mention whether it was raw or cooked. So, but I know that turmeric in rice definitely has a beneficial effect. So, you know, turmeric is a tremendous anti-inflammatory, and inflammation is part of the problem with these diseases.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and also a last question. So, would that also help with like something like Parkinson's?
It probably would. It probably would help with Parkinson's. One of the things that I'm testing now with Parkinson's is something called 5-HTP, which is a form of L-tryptophan, which goes to form L-serotonin, which goes to form L-dopamine. And L-dopamine is a neurotransmitter. And they found that people who have anxiety, depression, have low dopamine. And it's worked extremely well with those patients. But people who have Parkinson's, they also have low L-dopamine. And so I'm testing it now on some of my patients to see if it has an impact on Parkinson's. I would challenge you to use it or whoever it is that you're asking about to try it and see. It certainly will not hurt, and it can only help. 5-HTP.
Okay. And what did you say it was again?
5, the letter H as in Harry, T as in P as in Paul. 5-HTP. It's a form of L-tryptophan. L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Turn your radio off, caller.
Yeah. Could you please turn your radio off? And I don't know why I can't hear.
Hello.
Good.
Yeah. Could they pump up the volume if you can, the caller volume?
I did. I think it may be a
yes, sir.
Problem.
I'm here.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah,
go ahead, caller.
Yes, caller. Go ahead.
I heard you talking about mushroom. I recently ordered some mushroom powder, and I don't know what the benefits are. They said about the heart, clearing up stuff in the heart and all that, the veins and blood and sugar. But I guess I'm trying to take
so
the mushroom got
what were you trying to treat?
Well, I'm diabetic, for one thing.
Okay.
And I got
all right, well, I know there's certain types of mushrooms that have a tremendous beneficial effect on the immune system.
That's
things
what I'm talking
like, about, yeah. Like reishi mushrooms.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I just ordered.
Yeah. So it has a tremendous impact on the immune system. And so, and inflammation is a problem of the immune system. People don't make the connection between the two, but they are. And so, I've not treated diabetes with mushrooms per se, but I would think that it would probably have a beneficial effect.
Right.
I know it works with cancer. It works with autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjögren's disease, lupus, etc.
You talked about Brussels sprouts. That's one of my favorite foods, but I guess I got to cook it without the ham hock.
Got to get rid of them ham hocks, brother.
Yes, sir.
Got
to get rid of them ham hocks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no. Just if you want to live to be a centenarian, you know, live a long life with health, no cognitive impairment, you know. You keep on eating that stuff. It'll kill you, or it'll impair you. You know.
Yep.
I remember one lady called me early on. I was on another radio station.
What about the?
And she said, Dr. Watkins, I eat pork, and I'm 80 years old. You know, and I was in my early 30s at that time, and you know. I didn't want to beat the lady up, and you know, I tried to explain to her that saturated fat was not good for her, and then she kept talking, and I said, she's negatively influencing other people, and so I said, ma'am, how many pills are you taking? She was on about 20 pills, Brother Frank. I said, some people live old age because of genetics. I said, but just think what you would be like if you were eating the proper diet with your genetics.
Yep.
And of course, she shut up and hung up, you know, but no, you need to really, and you know it, I don't have to tell you, you know, that eating that stuff is not good for you.
I know.
You know? And if you listen on this radio program, we tell you that every week, that saturated fat is a killer. But it's not
I
just
have been, I have
ham hock.
I have been eating.
It's also the chicken. It's even the fish, because they're getting that fish all fatty, you know, because it sells by weight. And they're getting it all fat. And you paying big money to kill yourself. So
there you go. But I've been eating over Eat Life once or twice a week.
Huh?
What?
Twice a week?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, let's cut it down to once a week.
And
let's do that for one. Let's do that for 1 week and then cut it out. And if you need, give me a call, and we'll give you some recipes where you can have some food that tastes good, but it'll help you live longer. All right.
Okay.
All right, my brother.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your willingness to share. You know, willingness to be vulnerable, because that's how we grow. You know, that's how we grow. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Give us a call with any questions or comments that you may have. Do we have anyone else on the line?
Not yet.
All right. So this whole thing, and it's so exciting. And I'm glad the brother was willing to share, because it's in sometimes facing our problems, you know. We hide from our problems, you know, and brothers especially. I was listening to a sermon this weekend, and they were talking. It was Men's Day down at Oakwood, where I went to school, and the brother was talking about how men just don't come out. They hide stuff from their wives, from their family members, and because they don't want to face the fact that they're messing up. You know, now they know they're messing up, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to hide it. And men do it even more than women, because women will at least call another woman and talk. But growing up, man, I used to get so mad. My mother would be on the phone talking to these women for hours, man.
Mm.
And then she's sharing all our business. I don't want everybody to know that we ain't got no food. You know? But as I got older, I understood that this was a means of dealing with the pain, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
Being able to talk with others, and they would share ideas, and you know, and then sometimes we get a knock at the door. And here's these people bringing all this food, man.
Yeah.
You know. So, and, you know, I just thought about maybe some of them women called some of their friends, and they came. So we need to be able to talk about problems. That's the point I'm making, and to share our difficulties, our things that we can't seem to handle, and as I call Frank and tell him about my problems, Frank gives me some answers. And since I'm smart enough to listen, you know, I can grow. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We just got a couple minutes, but we're talking about this thing, Alzheimer's, a disease that is ravaging our community, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to face the fact that there are many, many factors. One of them seemed like I read something about obesity, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
and obesity had a negative impact on memory.
Mm-hmm.
Did I read
and
that,
everything
man?
Else.
And everything else. All right. And we are especially our sisters. The brothers don't talk, but they also don't eat as much. And so the sisters are really out there,
and
the brothers are trying to catch up now, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
The brothers are trying to catch up. They don't want the sisters to outdo them too much, and so we're getting fat. But we have to control that obesity, and walking and eating the right kind of diet, laughing and having good spirits. Setting some goals, you know, and achieving those goals are ways that we can really make a difference in our lives, you know. And it's all right to face the fact that you're overweight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to be very skinny, and they called me Weenie Bill, and I just laughed. I didn't like it, but I laughed. And I was very popular, and everybody liked me, you know, because I didn't let being skinny stop me. But then I started gaining weight, and, you know, when I started doing my rice diet and eating them beans and rice on a regular basis, I gained weight, and now I'm about the weight that I should be based on the scale. So we're excited to be able to talk about this. Brother Frank, any parting words? I see we're getting right down to the end here.
We're down to the wire. Kalia, do you want to queue up a PSA?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Doc, for giving us a review on how to treat and prevent Alzheimer's and cognitive decline. Yeah. People can treat themselves, you know. People can treat themselves, and that's what this show is about. If you want to talk to Dr. Theodore Watkins, call 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5, or go to www.twiliving.com. That's 202-388-0992. www.twiliving.com. We want to thank Kalia Chapman for doing an excellent job at engineering as usual, and the WPFW staff, Yuki Williams and Katia Stitt especially. We want to thank Joni Eisenberg for helping to keep DC healthy. Thank you, Ola Dari and Maccabee, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW and Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition after the news. Stay tuned next week, Monday at 2 o'clock, for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health.
WPFW's This Is Reggae Music and the Reggae Experience presents a fundraising concert featuring Image Band, Curlew Reggae All-Stars Band, Lady Flame, and Carl Malcolm. On Saturday, October the 5th, 7 p.m. until midnight at King Solomon Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast Washington, D.C. Tickets available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW. All proceeds benefit WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
We're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, they look at me strangely. Then they realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. The world of music is reeling after losing another member of the Jackson family dynasty, Tito Jackson. Mr. Jackson passed away yesterday from a heart attack while driving from New Mexico to Oklahoma. He had been on tour performing with his brothers and sons.
born Toriano Adairel Jackson in October 1953, as the third of 10 Jackson children, Tito grew up in a musical home with his siblings and gravitated to the guitar. Under their father's direction, Tito and his brothers, Jackie, Jermaine, Marlon, and Michael, signed to Motown in the late 1960s and scored number one pop hits with their first four releases, namely I Want You Back, ABC, The Love You Save, and I'll Be There. In later years, after leaving Motown, the brothers became known as the Jacksons and continued having hits in the 1970s and 80s, such as Enjoy Yourself, Shake Your Body Down to the Ground, and Can You Feel It, prior to their reunion on the Motown 25 special in 1983. In 1997, Tito was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame along with his brothers. In 2003, he became a blues musician and showcased his diverse musical taste on his two solo albums, Tito Time in 2016 and Under Your Spell in 2021. Tito Jackson is survived by his three sons, Taj, Terrell, and TJ, plus nine grandchildren. He was 70 years old. Former President Donald Trump has escaped yet another attempt on his life. The latest attempt was halted before it could take place yesterday at his golf club in Florida. Authorities presume that the suspect, Ryan Wesley Ralph, planned to attack Donald Trump as he played a round of golf. U.S. Secret Service agents fired at the suspect with a rifle in the bushes near the golf club, and he was later apprehended after being stopped on a highway. Trump was not harmed in the attempt. 58-year-old Ralph was once a Trump supporter, but had denounced that one-time support, expressing criticism of the former president in strong language online. Ryan Wesley Ralph has been charged with two counts of federal gun crimes, including possession of a firearm while a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. A detention hearing is set for next Monday. To your local news, New York has been named the best state for teachers in the country in 2024. And that's according to a new study released by the website WalletHub. All 50 states plus Washington, D.C. were judged by 24 key indicators of teacher friendliness, like teachers' income growth, pupil-to-teacher ratio, and public school spending per student. Chip Lupo, who is an analyst with WalletHub, said, and I quote, "The states that make a teaching career the most rewarding are those that compensate educators well, invest heavily in educational resources, pass laws that improve school system quality, and provide supportive conditions that lead to low turnover," end quote. One of the things that made New York stand out is that it has the highest average annual salary for public school teachers after adjusting for the cost of living, $82,571 among all states. To the D.C. area, D.C. Ward 8 Councilmember Trayon White said a few days ago that he would return to his office this morning, though his political future hangs in the balance. Last month, White was arrested by the FBI in Southeast D.C. for being accused of taking up to $156,000 in bribes with the promise of further kickbacks. Last Thursday, White pleaded not guilty to bribery and says he will continue his run for re-election. However, if he is convicted, the 40-year-old council member and father of two faces up to 15 years in prison and will lose his seat on the council. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York,